Blog Talk Radio.
It's 3 p.m., and I have a question for you. Do you know where your politicians are? Everything is political in your life, from the moment you're born to the moment you die. And when a politician tells you that's not true, look in your pocket. You'll find their hand in it. Everything is political. So we will be talking to those politicians that are working for you and talking about those politicians that are working against you. Just because they're a Democrat or just because they're a Republican and you voted that way your entire life, well, just maybe you were wrong, because everybody is not what they seem to be. However, there are a few out there that are working for your benefits, and we're going to bring them to you. We're going to let you hear them speak. We're going to let you ask them questions. We're also going to be discussing the education system, the military, science, sports, music, the movies. Ah, yes, healthcare. Do you have it? Do you need it? Is your 26-year-old still on the family's health care plan? Or as the Progressive Party says, Obamacare. We will bring you what you need to know, because this is the last word in everything. From the cities, the counties, the state, the nation, the entire world. So sit down. Get a pencil, paper, and take a graduate education experience, and we will make sure that you have the last word. My name is Michael Lawson.
Why isn't it working? I have
Change, change, I had a dream. Oh yes, I had a dream. I had a dream of days gone by when hopes were high and life worth living. I dreamed that love would never die. Be forgiven. And I was young and I was unafraid, and dreams were made, and you were
Alright. I have no idea if you can hear me. But, because I have no listening device to hear what I'm saying. I could go into here and see if I am being heard on Skype. That's what I'd be so glad when I get rid of this dang on Loud Talk, because it is full of, you know what, it ain't working for shit. I am sick and tired of Loud Talk. Now, see, if I get here, what can I do? That's because I'm going to go to Skype. I don't know if I'm being heard. And that's the problem. Let me go into here. Nope, can't hear there. Maximize. Okay, can I hear? I have no idea if I am being heard. That's the problem. Music is low. Okay, no, I have no idea if I'm being heard. But I am online. So, how come I can't find out whether or not I'm being heard? Okay, so I will go close all windows, I'll close it out. Okay, now, I'm not here. So I'm going to go back into Skype again. And then I will go into... Alright, ladies and gentlemen, I have to go into, since I am now out of Skype, I don't know if I'll be using Skype when I go to the YouTube, but I am so sick of this day, it takes me right here, and I don't know if this is correct, so I don't know how to get into this. Oh, here it is. Now, let's see here. Settings. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to audio. Go down here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't know if these are not this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Speakers. 1, 2, 3. Test audio. Okay, that's very incoming. I have the microphone. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't know if this microphone is being heard, so I have to take a USB headset. Well, why is that all blocked in here? Oh, the headset is locked in. Why is it working? Why is it working?
Is that?
No, the headset is not in.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Let's see me close it down. Let's see here.
What the hell's the story?
Oh, okay. Now it seems to be working. One, okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Close this sucker out here. I have no idea what this view. Okay, good show myself and good film. Switch. I have no idea what that means. So, let's see if I hear anything else in music. Let's see if I hear the music man.
Well, it's the weather, of course.
No, I don't hear the music man. So how the hell does this thing... I don't know if you hear me, ladies and gentlemen. And, this got the USB removed. Okay. Yes. Okay. The Logitech is in there. And the mouse is not working now. You know, it might... I don't know what the story is. The mouse isn't working. Remove this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's go into Skype again. Oh, I can't go into. I don't know. The daggone thing isn't working now. My mouse isn't working. Oh, give me a break here. All right, now it's back up. I just heard it go back up. Now. All right, so am I, is this thing now working? Who knows? Let's go into Skype. One more time, go up here. Settings. Let's see, audio. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. It's working. If I over here, adjust the mic, turn this off. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's close it down and see where it goes. How far it goes down. 1, 2, 3. Well, that must be me. See, I don't know if that's me or if that's the microphone. I have no idea. Chat. Let's see what the chat says here. Chat? Okay, I clicked on your chat. I don't see nothing. I wish someone would call me and tell me that it's working. All right, now come on out of here. Close it down. 1, 2, 3. Seems to be working. 1, 2, 3. That's the webcam. That thing is not working. That's... It might be my computer.
It might be my computer. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
All right, let's see here. Okay, so okay. Let's see here. All right, let's see if I have it. I wasted so much time today. Let's see if okay, no business like show business. I have no idea why the mic is not working, so we'll have to do with this. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, some important stuff has happened over the last couple of days, and besides not hearing myself in my microphone, so I don't know if I'm being heard, but there was a major stuff that's going on since I have last been on, and I haven't been on because my back has been out. The mics have not been working. Blog Talk Radio is completely screwed up. I don't know what the hell's going on. I can't even get the daggone things to work out here. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I will be dropping. USB drive not recognized. It is connected. What are you talking about? Now it's telling me my microphone isn't connected. And I still got it in there. So, you know, I'm putting all the other devices away. So it can't claim that it's using the device. It had me that I was using my Dango, which that's completely nonsense. I turned off my regular earpiece, so I'm not using that. The only thing that's plugged in there is the... remove this USB device. Yes, it doesn't even have me down as my device is in. Okay, setting up a device for you. Okay, Logitech. There it is. Now, supposed to be setting it up. Device is ready. Okay, why is that USB optical mouse? Okay, that's good. The optical mouse is ready. Now, how about the headset? That should be ready. and I'm not getting any not getting any younger with this, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we're going to play something that I've been wanting to play. It's Michael Cohen Show, and we really need to understand. I hope I'm getting across to everyone, because I don't know if it's being connected, if I'm being connected or not. There will come a day when Donald Trump, Donald Trump, is gone. But the GOP behavior of how this went down will always be remembered. And all those that have remembered, all those that have completely screwed up everything will remember. Because they will be told to remember. Now, this is the beginning of a show that I recorded, pre-recorded, but you need to listen to the opening.
To the Mea Culpa podcast. Did we just witness the Trump tipping point during the bombshell January 6th hearings on Tuesday? Was the surprise testimony of Cassidy Hutchinson the dose of reality that finally wakes America up and starts the indictments rolling? I mean, dear God, let's hope so.
We are coming to you just hours after the January 6th committee shocked the world with a hearing that can only be described as cuckoo, ooga, psh, ha-da, hachi-machi.
Who would have imagined that the reckless and insane actions of the Trump administration's last days would be so credibly exposed by a once loyal aide? A 25-year-old West Winger who, by all accounts, was the trusted right hand of former Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. A young woman who showed more guts than all the president's men. And from what I can gather, Ms. Hutchinson's testimony is a fateful nail in a whole stack of political coffins.
I remember leaning against the doorway and saying, I had an interesting conversation with Rudy. Mark, sounds like we're going to go to the Capitol. He didn't look up from his phone and said something to the effect of, there's a lot going on, Cass, but I don't know. Things might get real, real bad on January 6th.
What Ms. Hutchinson described was the shockingly erratic behavior of Trump high on his own insurrection. When Trump's security chief, Bobby Engel, wouldn't drive him to join the mob storming the Capitol, Trump allegedly reached for the wheel, and when Engel pushed him back, he went for the man's throat.
Damn, that is insane. Trump fighting to take control of the president's car like he's a bad guy in an action movie, only he's the president and this is real life? I mean, you gotta admit, though, fighting your own Secret Service agent is kind of genius on Trump's part, right? No, because he's hitting the one person who can't hit back. Yeah, I mean, they can punch back, but then they've got to jump in front of their own punch, you know? Just like, take that!
And what the hell would Trump have done once he got there? I mean, really? Grab the fucking pitchfork and stab Mike Pence himself? And then, back at the White House, there were hours and hours when the riot raged, Trump stewed, and cooler heads did not prevail. But I did note that both Ivanka and Don Jr. reportedly tried to get their father to call it off. But of course, it didn't help, but good on them anyway.
Trump fired back at her today, calling his own daughter by her full name on his social media platform, Truth Social. Ivanka Trump was not involved in looking at or studying election results, he posted. She had long since checked out and was only trying to be respectful to Bill Barr in his position as Attorney General. He sucked. Ivanka is or was Trump's favorite child. Although her testimony lasted just 10 seconds, its full impact may be felt for years to come.
Hutchinson confirmed that the insurrection was no accident. It had been planned and executed by Rudy Giuliani and lots of the usual suspects. The committee drew a clear line between Roger Stone and the Oath Keepers, the coup plotters at the Willard Hotel, and Mark Meadows. Jim Jordan, Mark Meadows, and the president. But there is so much blame to go around that I'll spare you my blow-by-blow analysis. But paging Pat Cipollone, it's time to sing, buddy. Or like your cowardly cohorts, continue to protect the Teflon Don at your own peril. Also shocking was the revelation that Trump knew there were armed and dangerous people all over the mall and yet welcomed them because these were his armed and dangerous people. They're not there to hurt him, but to do his bidding.
On that day, he was emphatic. He was irate. Mm-hmm. He was going to go to the Capitol. He was going to join and essentially foment a group that was heading that way. Keep in mind that these two critical pieces, totally separate from the salacious, lurid allegations that have been made in yesterday's testimony, these two pieces together kind of wipe out the idea that the president didn't know what might happen at the Capitol and that he didn't really have any role in trying to egg on violence directing itself straight up Pennsylvania Avenue to the head of Congress, also at his own vice president.
Also, he knew the mob was chanting, "Hang Mike Pence," and stoked their fury when he tweeted.
Well, after the rioters had breached the Capitol and Secret Service had rushed Mike Pence into an office, President Trump sent out this tweet telling his followers that Mike Pence didn't have the courage to do what should have been done to protect our country and our Constitution.
This is where Ms. Hutchinson seemed to have wanted off the Trump train, when she looked around and her boss and the president were both engrossed in the mayhem, but not lifting a fucking finger to stop it. Further, because Trump didn't call off the mob sooner, there was fear that the 25th Amendment would be invoked, Hutchinson testified. The only reason Trump made a statement was as cover to protect himself from the threat of his cabinet trying to oust him from power and to preserve his legacy.
I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack on the United States Capitol. Like all Americans, I am outraged by the violence, lawlessness, and mayhem. I immediately deployed the National Guard and federal law enforcement to secure the building and expel the intruders. America is and must always be a nation of law and order. The demonstrators who infiltrated the Capitol have defiled the seat of American democracy. To those who engaged in the acts of violence and destruction, you do not represent our country. And to those who broke the law, you will pay. We have just been through an intense election and emotions are high, but now tempers must be cooled and calm restored.
While Trump gave a speech finally conceding the election on January 7th, he didn't want to say anything negative about his riotous supporters. Instead, he wanted to float the idea of giving them pardons. Maybe we throw them a party. He didn't think that they did anything wrong, said Hutchinson. The person who did something wrong that day was Mike Pence by not standing with him.
See him for what he is. He's a developmentally arrested, seriously psychologically disordered human being who has no right to be anywhere near the levers of power. And if anybody is still willing to support him and wants to keep him in power, then we need to be very concerned about those people.
And here 17 months later, we are just now getting the gory details of the most tragic day in Trump land, where it all finally went off the rails, leaving death and destruction in its wake. And that, my friends, is the legacy Trump will be left with. That and the indelible image of ketchup dripping down the White House dining room wall. Stay classy, Mr. President.
The majority of the people who have information have come forward and cooperated voluntarily with the committee. There's a relative handful of people who have been hiding and ducking and, dodging the truth here, but we want everybody to come forward and tell us exactly what they know.
I was right when I said that Trump would never agree to the peaceful transfer of power, and I knew he was corrupt. But now it appears he will go down as the most treasonous president in U.S. history, who ran his administration like a fucking mob boss and still does. Liz Cheney warned that witnesses are experiencing threats and intimidation from unnamed Trump toadies.
Cassidy Hutchison destroyed any pretense that Donald Trump and Mark Meadows and all the president's men didn't understand precisely what was happening on that day.
Congressman, good morning. As you know, this was an unscheduled hearing. We learned about it the day before. You all rushed back from your district to hear the testimony from Cassidy Hutchison. What was the urgency of this hearing?
Well, the evidence is of such fundamental importance. We wanted to get it out. My colleague, the vice chair of the committee, Liz Cheney, pointed out at the end that we're very troubled about different efforts to influence witnesses. Witness tampering is a crime in the United States, and we want to make sure that we send a very clear message right now that the committee will not tolerate any form of witness tampering or obstruction of justice.
But as a result of Hutchinson's testimony, the Secret Service has come forward to say they will now fully cooperate with the January 6th committee and testify under oath. And Alex Holder, the documentary filmmaker who embedded with the Trump family during and after the 2020 election, has had his raw footage subpoenaed and is voluntarily cooperating with the committee. According to Politico, Holder claims that Trump was on an off-the-books call with Putin just minutes after news broke that Putin had dismissed Trump's Hunter Biden allegation. So stay tuned, folks. The best of that probably is yet to come, too.
Meanwhile, new details are emerging about a man named Thomas Wyndham. He's the latest federal prosecutor who's been assigned to help lead DOJ's criminal investigation and obtain transcripts from the Select Committee. He's working under Attorney General Garland's close supervision. New York Times this week describes Wyndham this way as a little-known but aggressive prosecutor who has been leading investigators who have been methodically seeking information, for example, about the roles played by some of Trump's top advisors, including Rudy Giuliani, Jenna Ellis, and John Eastman, with a mandate to go as high up the chain of command as the evidence warrants.
So here's a little sidebar. Liz Cheney got in a few good licks during the hearing when she rolled tape on some of her most vocal detractors using statements from Fox News host Kevin McCarthy and Jim Jordan to implicate them in the plot to cover up the coup. Touché, Miss Cheney, touché. And the FBI pulled over John Eastman and took his phone. Footage of agents shaking him down like a common criminal was all over the news Monday. That same night, Tucker Carlson had Eastman on his show to whine and bitch and complain about the illegitimate January 6th commission.
I want you to see that they took my property before providing me with the warrant. So I'd like to read the warrant.
Disgraceful. Wearing his little mask, put your hands up as if Eastman is a threat. He's not. He's a lawyer. As you just saw, he's under subpoena from the, speaking of illegitimate, wholly illegitimate, Pelosi-Liz Cheney-led January 6th committee. Mr. Eastman joins us tonight. John Eastman, thank you so much for joining us tonight. What exactly did you do wrong to be treated like a dangerous criminal by your government that you pay for?
Well, we don't know because the warrant doesn't say. It authorizes them to seize my phone and all the information contained in the phone.
According to the Washington Post, Carlson has been running his own one-man rebuttal since the committee started the hearings and has created a sort of bizarro world alternative, giving airtime to conspiracy theorists focused on casting doubt on the government and interviewing individuals like Jeffrey Clark and John Eastman, who have been a target of the committee's probe. Carlson isn't simply ignoring the hearing. He's holding his own hearings in which he presents unsubstantiated allegations about how the real danger from the riot was the government's response and Antifa. I mean, still with the Antifa bullshit. But Carlson's goal is to offer a counterweight to the House committee's work and to present fake testimony that casts the investigation as the real threat to Americans. John Eastman, according to Carlson, is just another victim of the committee's witch hunt. though federal judge David Carter has credibly accused Eastman of obstructing an official proceeding and conspiracy to defraud the United States government, and the FBI still has his phone. But call it a witch hunt if you must, Tucker. Do what you will.
And it's just another reminder to anyone who didn't vote for Joe Biden to erase your texts and emails every single day. And that is a sincere piece of advice I hope everyone follows.
In Tuesday's election, 15 candidates who either denied or questioned the legitimacy of the 2020 election won their Republican primaries. But the big story going into Tuesday's elections was the Democrats had meddled in GOP races, hoping to elevate extreme GOP candidates, thinking that they'd be easier to defeat in the general election. This is certainly a strategy that could backfire, but leave it to the fucking Democrats to try something stupid. In Illinois, Democrats got their wish, and the MAGA fucking wacko State Senator Darren Bailey easily won the GOP gubernatorial primary and now faces a steep uphill battle against incumbent Democrat J.B. Pritzker. But in Colorado, the strategy didn't pay off because there were just too many election deniers to choose from. Lauren Boebert and four others just like her won their primaries, which leads me to wonder just what the hell is happening in Colorado. Three election deniers, one in Oklahoma and two in Utah.
Do you accept the fact now that the company that you accused of stealing a national election only operated in one county, in L.A., in California? One county, one state.
No, I'm not prepared to accept that fact.
In New York, Kathy Hochul easily won her primary and hopes to be the first woman ever elected governor of the state. A huge turnout for Democrats and lukewarm for Republicans. However, it will be Lee Zeldin, lawyer for Trump during his first impeachment trial, who faces off against Hochul in November. For your information, Zeldin beat Rudy's son, Andrew Giuliani, by 20 points for the GOP nod. And it's still undetermined if the Supreme Court's abortion ban has fired up Democrats to vote in the primaries. But Zeldin is anti-abortion in a state that's currently trying to shore up protection for reproductive rights. So good for Hochul and good for New York.
Former president, President Trump, today, he saw shares in his new media company swirl down the toilet when the company had to announce in a regulatory filing that its entire board of directors just got served with federal grand jury subpoenas from FDNY, from federal prosecutors in the Southern District of New York. It had previously been known that Trump's new media business venture was being investigated by the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and by an entity called FINRA, which is a financial industry watchdog. But now apparently it's federal prosecutors as well. So maybe that's a criminal investigation now?
And lastly, according to the New York Times, federal prosecutors have begun a grand jury investigation into whether classified White House documents that ended up at Mar-a-Lago were mishandled. Problem being, Trump may assert that as president, he had the authority to classify and declassify information as he saw fit, which, with certain caveats, is correct. Or he could claim that he didn't know what the boxes contained and that some low-level staffer mistakenly included the documents, which purportedly contained some top-secret data in Trump's move from the White House. Those defenses are difficult to disprove. So why would the Justice Department go to the trouble of opening a criminal case and convening a grand jury unless prosecutors believed they could effectively counter them? More will be revealed, but just the idea that Trump will be fighting something or someone in court for the rest of his life will suffice until he's thrown in jail or exiled to Mar-a-Lago alone with nothing but an ankle bracelet to keep him company.
It's reminiscent of the arrogance of another thug mentality, Rick Ross, who talks about walking in the courtroom, sipping on a beverage. I know the judge, so I got a lot of leverage.